Did you think you'd be hearing a holiday ad this early? We know, it's early, but planning ahead is essential before heading into one of the busiest seasons of the year. Beat the rush with Minted, a curated marketplace to discover unique Christmas and holiday cards, gifts, and seasonal decor from artists and makers around the world. Whether it's sharing family milestones on your holiday card, the feeling of finding the perfect present, or decorating your home for cozy gatherings ahead, the holidays are about embracing connection with your people. Bring your traditions to life with independent art and design this holiday season. Use code PODCAST for 20% off Minted holiday cards and gifts.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm beside myself with the Beatles and Dave Fanning is joining. Dave, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. You're a major Beatles fan, of course.
No, yeah. More than yourself.
Yeah, you and I
have had several discussions
have,
on the
indeed,
Beatles.
Absolutely.
But there we have it. A Hard Day's Night. It's 60 years. Were you born?
I went in my nappy. I was allowed to go.
You know, the day I was born, on June 17th, 1964, the Beatles were playing in Melbourne that night. And that's how much of a Beatle nerd I am. And they played A Hard Day's Night.
I thought you were going to say you went to the gig.
Well, I wasn't at the gig. But it is the 60th anniversary. This album and the movie and all that kind of thing. Where does it fit in the Beatles canon?
Oh my God, up there as top as anything else. But then again, everything the Beatles did, there was only about 7 years, I remember, of Beatles in terms of Love Me Do to the End in 1970 and like what they did in that time. This was at the very cusp of supernova Beatlemania. I mean, Beatlemania had happened, it was in Britain, it was huge and all the rest of it. They were just about to do the Ed Sullivan Show in America and all the rest of it and that. And this thing comes out. It's an album, the third album, the first one where every single song was written by Lennon McCartney. One of them sung by George Harrison, but they were all written by Lennon McCartney. The first two albums had lots of covers on them. So this was a statement in terms of album. But the movie, I mean, the movie like is in just about everybody's top 100 movies of all time. Time magazine has it in the top 20. It's the only music movie in there. I don't totally... I'm like the exuberance and the joy and the irreverence and the funniness and the franticness and all the rest. I get all that and I see how it's a brilliant little snapshot in time. But the most important thing is that just see this here? It's the mobile phone.
I know.
The whole world is in this damn thing and everything is coming at you 24 hours a day. When you were into the Beatles, as I was, you didn't get anything. You couldn't, like, you buy a music magazine if you were lucky kind of thing, and there was nothing on TV or anything, you know. So you had 90 minutes, well, 87 minutes to be precise, of the Beatles goofing around. The movie is just one, how they came up with the plot.
Yeah.
The plot is basically the Beatles are running all over the place because they've been chased by two things, paparazzi and fans. That's all it is. There's nothing else in it. And yet, it's just captures something. Remember, every Beatle was born during the Second World War. This is now 17 years or 18 years after the end of the Second World War. So the new generation was going, we're going to do something different. The global village was about to happen. The world was getting smaller in terms of you can move around the whole world all the time. If you did something in England, they would hear it in New York, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just the Beatles were on top of it all. But it was because they were cheeky, chappy types. And remember, like, if there was lots of humour, which there is, it's not Monty Python humour even. What it is the Goon Show, and Dick Lester was brought in to make this movie, and he was a Goon Show person, and also the Marx Brothers in America. Add the two together, and that's what it was. Just kind of slapstick, falling down, pratfalls, irreverence.
What gets me is that opening chord, though.
That opening chord is the same as opening chord in music.
That's a clarion call.
It is, yeah.
As if they're announcing their dominance in the world. Yeah, it rings out, and it's very hard to play, apparently. I don't know, funny notes in it.
Yeah, I don't play the guitar.
And it goes out like a clarion. And next thing, Lennon's voice kicks in. And if anybody feels a bit down this morning because it's the last item,
that's going to make you feel
play A Hard Day's Night because it'll lift your spirit.
Well, the funny thing is about the album itself, remember the first side of the album, now obviously it's vinyl, side one, side two. First side, all the songs are in the movie. So you're waiting for them to sing the songs. Now, that was happening in Elvis Presley movies. That was happening in Cliff Richard movies. But they were all right and proper and nice and crap, basically. You know, they really were nonsense. You know, this was a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just the way they came across and the cheeky, chappy nature of it all. And it was just perfect. It really was. You know, the Elvis and Cliff things were stuffy.
Yeah.
This was the real deal. If you want a jukebox musical, if you want to call it that, go see A Hard Day's Night and not any of the ones.
And especially, it's the Beatles at their lovable best, isn't it? Harrison was only 21. What gets me is McCartney was only 22.
Listen, you ready for this? Do you want to make everybody feel really bad? I know you don't, but here goes.
Yeah.
The Beatles, when they broke up, not one of them were 30.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Does that make you feel really inadequate?
Absolutely.
Not one of them was 30. When they broke up. Yeah. I also remember that this was like when it was fun. This
yeah,
is
fun.
You know,
yeah,
64.
Yeah.
Within 2 years, or less than that, within a year, they had tried recreational drugs.
Heavy,
and then they had
the
kind of the psychedelic drugs and all the rest. And then Yoko came along. Well, and do I blame Yoko? I do.
Of course. But I hate to, this is, we're two Beatle nerds talking at length here. Lennon changed. I mean, in that movie, he's the chirpy, witty guy.
He is, but he's a
serpent. By 66, he's miserable and he's all this negativity. And then he has a big beard on him. And how could one person change
across
in
the
such
way.
A short amount of time?
I mean, Paul is, as you expect Paul
he's
to be.
He's chirpy,
here.
Didn't he? Thumbs
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I mean, he is astute and he's playful and he's, you know, he's but he's still cool. He's up for anything. Whereas John is dry and acerbic and he's a bit nasty now and again and can be. Even though in this movie, it is all just fun. It really is. But it's just so euphoric and it's the deadpan humour is brilliant. They are really charismatic. They are really lovable. And there's just something about it. It's just one moment in time because remember, Beatlemania, as I say, was happening. This was now super Beatlemania and then it just went stratospheric.
Exactly.
And then it went weird.
And musically, the album.
Well, musically, the funny thing is...
They're all Lennon McCartney, no covers, which is the
first
time.
No, there's no covers, yeah. I mean, the first side is, you know, A Hard Day's Night, I Should Have Known Better, If I Fell In Love With You, I'm Happy Just To Dance With You, and I Love Her and Tell Me Why. Fantastic songs. The second side was, the songs were not in the thing. A lot of them were Lennon songs in the second side. The last three, When I Get Home, You Can't Do That. And in particular, the great lost Beatles gem to me. I think it's one of the greatest songs they've ever done. It's called I'll Be Back.
Which you think is the best. I was amazed when you told me this. Beatles song.
It's not the best Beatles song. No. It's not Strawberry Fields Forever,
no.
For crying
no,
out
loud. But you reckon it's up there.
I just love the whole idea because they were going somewhere with it. I don't know what it is. It's right. Lennon at his best. And also, I think if there was more more people knew the song, I might like it as much. I'm trying to tell people how good
it is. Well, I suspect very few people have heard those songs.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And they're well worth listening to. Right?
And George Harrison sings one of the songs, which is, I think, it's I'm Happy Just to Dance With You.
Right. And what was it at the time? They must have been in top form, first of all, going to the studio. Young band, guys in their early 20s. They were becoming world dominant. And the joy, what gets me about that album is the joy in their voices.
Yeah, I mean, it is an underrated Beatles album. The next one was Help, which is also brilliant, although the movie was appalling.
Yeah.
And, Then came the big ones, Rubber Soul and Revolver.
Right.
And so, like, you know, they just kept getting better, kept doing amazing stuff. But this is the start of something that I don't think when people look back on Beatles albums, for instance, most times people look back on Beatles albums, their favourite album is one that I'm going, seriously? Yeah. Abbey Road?
I know.
There's
too
much on that that's just not that good, you know?
and was there innovation in the music? I believe Harrison used a 12-string Rickenbacker.
The Rickenbacker was huge.
So they were actually, we listen
He invented the Birds.
Did
and the
really,
Birds would be the first to say that. And they invented folk rock. And then they invented kind of Americana, if you like. It was all his Rickenbacker guitar. No question about
so
it.
So they were true innovators. They seem well-worn now, but they were innovators,
right? Yeah, they were. I mean, what do you call it? The Birds came to London in 65. And, I mean, obviously the haircuts and the granny glasses and all that were huge. And their version, like, of, what do you call it, Mr. Tambourine Man. I mean, the first 12 seconds of that is the invention of folk rock. It's just brilliant.
That sounds,
it's all George from before that. Of course they were. They were just everything.
Yeah. And then the fantastic, my favourite song after Hard Day's Night is If I Fell.
Because the harmonies
of Lennon and McCartney's voices meld together so well. And they were great at doing the harmony pieces.
They were really, in fact, I think the best harmony stuff that the Beatles ever did is Hello Goodbye, which is another underrated song. Yeah. Listen to Hello Goodbye and listen to, this sounds like a real nerdy stuff. Listen to it on headphones, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, Dave, you're still playing vinyl, I imagine.
Yeah,
that's your favourite. Way to play.
Yes, I was playing my Incredible String Band album only yesterday.
Oh, good Lord.
The 5,000 Spirits or the Layers of the Onion.
There's another one. I know. So you would recommend, let's say we have some young people listening in this morning, unlikely as it may seem.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do that.
Would you say play? I think you should because I play it. My two sons when they were young, and mind you, I was brainwashing them. But kids pick up on the joy, don't they? And they hear the voice.
The joy.
They don't necessarily know what the songs are about, but they can get this strange sense of...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose
that's
for a lot
the case
of
in the 60s,
people
yeah.
as well. I mean, there's an element of, dare not say ABBA and the Beatles in the same sentence, but ABBA have the thing of, like, it's just a joyous thing that people love every one of those songs and can really enjoy. But with the Beatles thing, it's just a fantastic moment in time. It really is, you know, and they really are charismatic and they just make you feel good. It's life-affirming, the vitality of it, the inventiveness.
That's
everything.
Right. Yeah, incredible. Two composers. Now, then, after A Hard Day's Night, you say Help comes along, but it really we might as well keep going. The Rubber Soul is when it really changed.
Well, Rubber Soul and Revolver are the two. That's when things really changed. Well, that's like, wow, what's going on? And also remember, like Elvis had been the dominant, whatever, you know, he broke the mold and he absolutely opened all doors. Yeah. But that's between 54 and 58. And when Elvis went into the army in 58, John Lennon, when he heard that Elvis died in 77, he said Elvis died when he went into the army. And you know something?
God.
John was right.
You're probably right.
He's right. I mean, John, like Elvis came back and had about four or five hits, big hits, and that. Obviously, he didn't write a song himself ever. And like those hits were nice, but they were nothing special. And then nothing. And then the 68 special, when he came back, it just showed you he was just so out of time and gone. Yeah. Beatles were all writing their own stuff. Exactly. And then Elvis went to Vegas and had too many hamburgers. And it was just, now I know that's very unfair in some ways, but it's not Elvis's fault.
Well,
it's his manager.
Lennon's honesty, isn't it true? Lennon said that. He said it, he talked
straight. Oh, I thought he was 100% correct. 100% absolutely, correct. No question.
Now, we must move on. Two more things I want to ask you, as I have you here. You too have a new EP?
Well, I mean, it's not the first. They've had a bunch. Like, they're kind of bringing it out. I mean, they do say it's for the super fans. And you need to be, like, I'll give you a perfect example. Bob Dylan, this is really going all the way, has a thing out next month. 27 CDs just of live concerts for the 1974 Before the Flood tour.
Ridiculous.
Now, seriously, are you going to go back and listen to all of them? So you need to be a super fan. You need to be AJ Weberman and going through his garbage as he used to do.
But it got to number 30, David, on release in the iTunes. They still have fans. I mean, it's amazing.
The funny thing is, like, I don't know, maybe I should have been sceptical of charts. I don't give two hoots about charts.
No, we don't know what they are. We don't understand them.
I don't even know how they measure them.
That's right. Yeah, but still, it's a headline.
Like, they have all this stuff. It's stuff that's been out before. In fact, a lot of the stuff was extra stuff on albums before anyway.
So there's no new songs. It's just rehashing of old. Like. And then one more thing, Dave. Rory Gallagher. Fans of him as well. His guitar.
The guitar.
What do you make it? €1 million. Should the Irish taxpayer pay €1 million to buy Rory's guitar?
Somebody very famous with loads of money to do it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the previous band that were
Band singer, yeah.
Is Rory Gallagher's guitar worth €1 million? I know it's hard to say.
What's anything worth? It's in the beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so is price.
It is.
I don't know. Whatever. Like, I mean, should we keep it like we keep the Book of Kells?
Well, somebody said, why not?
I was going,
it is a very important cultural artifact, isn't it?
I was at the Rory Gallagher, Rory Gallagher weekend. There's one every weekend, every year in June, Bank Holiday weekend in Ballyshannon.
Right.
And I was there for the 3 days there this year. It was fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Blues bands playing all over it. And it'll be a huge one next year because it's 30 years since Rory died. Like that guitar, I've seen him play that live. The stadium in Dublin and everywhere else, you know. It's brilliant. And it is a moment. It is a thing. It is an artifact. If I had 10 million, would I buy it? No, I need the money for other things. But I mean, great, you know.
Dave, thanks very much as ever for remembering the Beatles yet again.
Thanks. The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.